This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Chris Vernon.
I've got to take this thing to a level that has never been accomplished before.
You got to get off Nick Saban's job.
The only black leprechaun I ever saw in my life. Anybody that's got little in front of their name and is a midget wrestler, I love them. I'm a hermit.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Verno joins us each week from Memphis. The Ringer is where you find his podcast. Subscribe to him. Download them. He's presented each week by Five.
Five Restaurant and Bar. Two locations, the original in Tuscaloosa. One in Lakeview. Don't forget, great place to get your Saturday and Sunday football action going with a great brunch. And if you're heading to Tuscaloosa, make sure you stop by that original location of Five Restaurant and Bar.
At the end of this month, Verno. Oh, first of all, Verno, how are you?
I'm great.
Oh, okay.
I am great.
I was going to give you time for the yo. Everybody loves the yo.
Yo.
Wow. In four games, the Cowboys will face the Saints. How will it feel seeing Dez Bryant in that uniform for a Cowboys fan?
Very difficult. I was trying to think about this the other day. I don't know how you guys feel about former players from your team. Unless they play for somebody that I hate, like when Deion Sanders went to the Redskins, right? I'm not rooting for him. But, like, if they go to somebody that I don't have a particular ill will towards, I always end up rooting for them.
Yeah,
I loved DeMarcus Ware winning a Super Bowl with the Broncos, right? Like, I mean, I was always going to root for him. And truth be told, after the guy retired, listen, I still got a Dez Bryant jersey either way. I didn't throw it away. I didn't burn it or anything, right?
Yeah, you're not a Cavalier fan, yeah.
Well, the other thing is it's not by his choice, right? There's always the weird thing where if a player leaves you by choice or asked to be traded or something like that, maybe you could feel some way towards him. But no, I'll always root for Dez. And actually, he could not be in a more perfect situation there. He's got great organization, great coach, great quarterback, and he doesn't have to be the number one guy. And he can be a red zone target. I mean, I think they have a tremendous chance at winning the Super Bowl.
Is it overrated on how much of a distraction he can be in the locker room?
Well, I mean, I think it's yes. In the sense that guys like that have domineering attitudes, it depends on who you've got around them. And there's no question where the power is regarding, you know, if you come from a weak organization, unfortunately, like the Cowboys are, that's filled with yes men, then you got a problem. How big of a problem has Josh Gordon been with the Patriots? I mean, I know he had to sit out for being late one day, but did he look like a problem the other night? You know what I mean? You know, like guys like that, and that's true in any business, right? It depends on what the leadership is. And you're not going to be able to be the loudest voice on a team that has Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Got a longtime coach who's totally stable, and a longtime quarterback who's totally stable. Guys like Dez Bryant have to fit in there. You don't have to fit in with the Cowboys. You know that Tony Romo is not some kind of big alpha dog. Same goes when he was playing for a rookie quarterback in Dak Prescott. And don't get me started on Garrett.
Get him started on Garrett.
It is Saints and Rams in the NFC Championship game, do you think that game's played in Los Angeles or New Orleans?
Probably Los Angeles, but the majority of the fans will be Saints fans. Sorry, Lance.
He knows it's true.
No, I know it's true, but you know, I don't care. I don't want, you know, I was at the game on Sunday, and that's a great atmosphere. And that's one of those things where the Rams never have a true home advantage, but if they have to go on the road, they are obviously at a disadvantage.
I mean, I really think the Saints were one play away from winning the Super Bowl last year. I do. I mean, you had the Diggs play. They had that game. And I think they would have beaten the Eagles. And I think they could have beaten the Patriots. Right? The Patriots couldn't stop anybody. So, I mean, they were one play away, in my estimation, last year. And so now this year you come back, and it's another year with that group. They got two awesome running backs. Thomas is easily the most underrated receiver in the NFL. It's not even close. Because he's not a household name by any means. but he is every bit as productive and as awesome as the guys that are.
Chris Vernon is with us. You can subscribe to and download his podcast at The Ringer. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Vernon Show. He's presented each week by our friends at Five.
Five Restaurant and Bar. Don't forget, a great place to get your college football Saturdays going with a delicious brunch. Stop into the original in Tuscaloosa or the one right here in Lakeview. It's Five Restaurant and Bar.
Do I buy the Bucs at 9-2? They're they're number two in the Eastern Conference right now. So I'm asking you, do they have staying power at that spot? Would I buy them at 9-2 as the number two seed?
Not 9-2 necessarily, like winning at that
point. No, but as the number two seed, could they have the ability to be there?
They got a bunch of awesome players. They've got a superstar, and they've got a guy that won 60 games with the Hawks as their coach now. It was the worst coach team in the league. It wasn't even close. I mean, you can look at the way they're playing now, and in terms of just their shot distribution, what they're taking from three, what they're taking at the rim. And last year, they were coached by guys that had them taking a bunch of mid-range jumpers. The other thing is they're insanely long, and therefore, like from Bledsoe and Brogdon in a backcourt to their wings with Middleton and Giannis, and then they've got big guys that are long too, like Thon Maker, John Henson, whoever it may be that comes in. Ilyasova comes off the bench. I mean, they've got a bunch of players that are good players, and they've got a great coach, and they've got a superstar. So yeah, there's absolutely no reason not to buy them. And by the way, Giannis has not been as good early in this season as he was early in last season. And he's only going to be getting better and better as the year goes on. So, yes, I absolutely buy the Bucks.
Chris Vernon is with us. Let's talk a little college football now. As we get ready for Week 11, there is concern, I guess, a little bit for Notre Dame fans without Ian Book. Though it appears to us they are intentionally resting him, so he's closer to 100% for Syracuse, and the team they're resting for is mighty Florida State, or at least what used to be Florida State. Do you think there's any concern for the Irish with Notre Dame coming, with Florida State coming in playing QB2?
No. I mean, they're not going to lose to Florida State. It's just a matter of we get to this point of the year, and you know it matters if you mangle somebody. Now, maybe it won't with Notre Dame, given their strength of schedule, and frankly, because Michigan has been so awesome, and so that win is just immense for them. But if they skate by Florida State, they'll at least get a little bit of credit. They do get the whole, you know, our quarterback wasn't playing, but you guys know, once we get to November, now these margins matter. We look at it and we say, oh geez, they just beat Florida State, you know, 24-21. They should have killed them, right, even with a backup quarterback, because Florida State's terrible. And then somebody else, you know, Ohio State, let's say they go to Michigan State and they win 63-0 this weekend, right? I mean, hell, they won the game 48-3 last year. And everybody was like, oh, guess we shouldn't worry about Ohio State. We get to this point in the year where we look at the margins of victory and then we decide. And you heard the committee the other night where – you don't know. I mean, they're talking about like the eye test and how much the eye test matters. Well, of course the eye test is going to favor teams that are not playing against high-level competition necessarily, and they get their and they put up a bloodbath. And so that would be the only thing regarding Notre Dame. But I do think Notre Dame's an outstanding team. They're not as good with Book, for sure, but they're certainly good enough to beat Florida State. Florida State's awful.
Verno, I'll give Central Florida a lot of credit. They've won 21 consecutive games. We got on this debate earlier in the show. Somebody called and said, what would Central Florida's record be if they played Alabama's schedule? After looking at it, digesting it, I said they would be 8-1. I think they probably would have lost at LSU. Dunaway thinks they'd be like 5-4 or
6-3.
Brown, I think, was 7-2. So two questions. What do you think they would be if they played Alabama's schedule? And second, how much better would UCF be if they were in the SEC?
How much better? Well, I mean, I think it's a function of – they would be significantly better because of the caliber of athletes that they'd be able to get. I mean, they already get good players and a lot of guys that have gone to the NFL over the course of the past 10 years. Anyway, playing in that conference. But the conference matters dramatically. I mean, you look at what has happened to the teams that have left the Big East and how that has filtered down. over the last, you know, several years. The ones that ended up in the American, it's a lot harder, man. Like, while the caliber of athlete got better in the AAC for teams like Memphis, for teams like Houston, moving from Conference USA, the teams that moved from the Big East, I mean, once upon a time, you can recall, UConn won the Big East and was playing in a bowl game. It's the worst team in the country. And not to mention their basketball team, which was one of the great programs in all of America. And I know everybody can just blame Kevin Ollie, but the truth is you don't get as good of players when you're playing in a conference that is known as a lesser than. When another coach gets to come in and say, hey, you consider yourself one of the best, well, you've got to be able to prove it. You've got to be able to play against the best players week in and week out. So given their proximity to so many players being in that state of Florida, you know the caliber of athlete would go up there. And so I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't be outstanding. I mean, I do think your placement within – they would have so many more advantages than so many other teams that are even in the conference. I mean, their campus is unbelievable. Student body in the school is a huge school. They got gorgeous girls, too, and they have a history of winning. And I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, kids visit Starkville and go to school there. Kids go to Oxford and go to school there. Kids go to all manner of places, Columbia, Missouri, and go to school there. You know, if your trip's to Orlando and you're going to that school, like, they have other advantages outside of – the fact that they've had good football, I mean, and their school would be in a much more enticing place for players to come. The worst thing they have going for them is that they don't year in. That they can be undefeated. You know, any coach, if I'm recruiting right now, they're fine. Go to Central Florida. Look, they haven't lost in 2 freaking years and nobody cares. I mean, that it's a demerit. It is, you know. But obviously that's the thing. If you put this Central Florida team in the SEC, maybe they don't do, you know, unbelievable. But if you gave them the affiliation and let them go recruit as an SEC school, oh, God, they'd be friggin' loaded.
Is Uncle Vinny available today for one pick?
Oh,
wow. He was sitting right next to Verno.
Didn't have to yell for him.
Normally, Verno has to look for him. This is Uncle Vinny. This is Chris Vernon's uncle.
I was sitting over here looking at the paper as he was talking.
WJOX in Birmingham. Like, yes.
I by the way, I agree with him. Who gives a crap about Central Florida? Anyway, last week I came on the show, and what did I tell you? I told you Alabama by
29?
You don't even listen.
No, I think you said 29. They did 29-0 is what you predicted.
28. I was 1 point off. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry for being 1 point off.
It's okay.
29-0. What a friggin' burial. I made $5 million off that game.
That's big money.
Let's see. Texas is a 1.5-point favorite over Texas Tech. Sam Ellinger and Lil Jordan Humphrey. God, I love them. And here's a fun fact. When I was born, my parents decided between two names. Vincenzo, which was going to be named after my great-grandfather, or Lil Jordan. They went with Vincenzo.
Oh, wow. Tough break for you.
Texas Tech is playing a backup quarterback, Jet Duffy. The Jet is going to crash. Tom Herman is 11-5-2 against the number. First teams with a winning record. The Red Raiders, meanwhile, are 3-7 on their home field against teams with a winning record. Texas covers every year against Texas Tech. They've covered the last 4 and 6 out of the last 8. It took a miracle Will Greer throw last week to beat them, but I still like this team. And they are dealing with real tragedy in Lubbock this week. Did you guys see the news about the man that died drinking milk in Lubbock?
No, that's awful.
Yeah, the cow fell on him. It was the saddest thing ever. I'm just kidding. In all seriousness, do you have any idea how many Texas Tech fans it takes to eat a possum?
How many? How many of it?
3. 1 to eat it and 2 to watch macaws. These are jokes, but Texas Tech wins by double digits. I'm sorry, Texas wins by double digits, and the line is like
whatever, 1.5. It's a bloodbath. Jet Duffy's going to crash. My name should be Lil Jordan. It's my Big 12 game of the year.
Thank you, Uncle Vinny. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Always get Lance's Lock on Twitter, @TheLanceTaylor.
You're welcome.